You're just piling on strategy after strategy after strategy after strategy. And you're just doing more and more and more, when actually what you need to do when you hit an audience growth plateau is actually not do more, but do things differently. This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 363.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Do you ever have those times in your business where you feel like you've hit a bit of a roadblock with your audience building? So perhaps you're doing quite well on a particular platform. You're starting to get more followers. You're starting to get more engagement. Maybe you're starting to make more sales. And then suddenly it feels like you've hit a plateau. It feels like you've hit a ceiling, and it all just feels so, so hard. And at this stage, you can just feel like you don't know what to do next. Well, if any of that sounds familiar, first of all, please feel reassured that it happens to the best of us. Audience growth plateaus can happen really early on in your business, but they can also happen at any stage. Even if, like me, you've been in business for a while, it happens to me. And every time it happens, I have to have a rethink. I have to have a bit of a reset. So in this episode, I'll be sharing 5 ways that you can bust through your audience growth plateau. So as ever, I'll keep it practical, I'll keep it tactical, I'll give you lots of examples, lots of case studies. But I'll also be talking a little bit about your mindset, because I think when you hit an audience growth plateau, there's often something going on in your mindset and the way that you're approaching your business, which you almost need to kind of stop and reset. So we will talk about that. Now, if you're looking for straight strategies, you're just looking for a ton of ideas to help you build your online audience, then I do have a download for you that you might find helpful. It's basically 50 strategies for building your online audience. And if you head over to janetmurray.co.uk/50strategies, so it's janetmurray.co.uk/50strategies, you'll be able to get that download there. And now on with the main part of the show. If you're going through an audience growth plateau in your business at the moment, or you've experienced this in the past, then you probably know that it can make you feel quite panicky, and it can make you feel quite desperate because your followers aren't growing, like your engagement isn't growing, and probably your sales aren't growing either. And you find yourself really worrying and fretting about the future, like if my audience isn't going to grow any bigger, like how am I going to keep this business afloat? And you can end up getting quite panicky. And when you're in that state of mind, I think it's really easy to fall into something which I call the strategy mindset. And when you're in the strategy mindset, you'll probably find yourself thinking things like, I wonder if I should start a Facebook group. Like, my friend's got a Facebook group and that works really well for her business, so maybe that could work for me too. What about Facebook ads? I mean, I know I tried them before and they didn't really work, but you know, maybe I should give that another go because I know this guy who's like doing really, really well with his Facebook ads. And what about Pinterest? I heard a really good podcast episode the other week about Pinterest. You know, maybe that's the missing link. Maybe that's the thing that I should be doing. And when you're in that mindset, you can end up, and I see it with my clients all the time, you're just piling on strategy after strategy after strategy after strategy. And you're just doing more and more and more, when actually what you need to do when you hit an audience growth plateau is actually not do more, but do things differently. And that's really what this episode is about. I am going to share with you some practical things that you can do when you hit your audience growth plateau, but actually a lot of it is going to be about changing your mindset, changing the way that you think. Because when you hit an audience growth plateau, it's generally not to do with your strategy. It's not because you're not doing enough or you're not doing the right things. Often it's because you've actually kind of lost touch with why you do what you do, like who you're trying to help, and you've actually lost that kind of personal connection. So my first piece of advice for you, if you hit an audience growth strategy, is to focus on one platform. So often, if you find that you're not growing on your social media platforms, the ones that you're using, it's often because you're trying to be active on too many platforms. And as a result, you're not actually doing any of them particularly well. And if you think about it, every social media platform that you use actually has quite a lot to it. So if we just take, for example, Instagram. So Instagram has the grid. So you've got the grid where you can write captions and you can use hashtags to help people find your content. And you know, that in itself is a whole art, like understanding, you know, what kind of hashtags to use and how to help people find you. Then you've got Instagram stories, which is a little bit more rough and ready. It's almost like your own reality TV. That's got loads and loads of features on it, including highlights, so you can put out your best clips and you can line them up on your main feed on Instagram. So much to learn on there. And then you've got IGTV, which is almost like YouTube for Instagram. All of them have a lot of moving parts to them. There's lots of different things to learn. And it's actually the same if you think about LinkedIn. So LinkedIn has got posts. You can write articles on there. We've now got LinkedIn Live on there. We've got groups. Same with Facebook. You've got groups. You've got pages. You've got Facebook Live. You've got Facebook Messenger bots. There's so much to learn. And actually, if you find that you're in an audience growth plateau, there's a very good chance, and I base this on experience of working with hundreds of clients on this, that you're posting across, you know, a number of different platforms. It could only be two. Maybe you're not doing two very well because you haven't actually taken the time to really understand a platform and to really grow on one platform. So if you're experiencing an audience growth plateau, the first thing I would suggest that you do is take a really, really long, hard look at where you're active on social media, where you're getting the best results, or where you think you could get the best results, where your audience are, and think about focusing on one platform. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't post on other platforms. So let's say, for example, you decide that your audience are primarily on Instagram, you're going to focus on it. That doesn't mean that you can't post on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. This is just about where you put most of your resources. In fact, if you're really bossing it on Instagram, you could take your content, you can repurpose it on other platforms. And actually, what I often suggest to people is you get really good at one platform, because when you get good at one platform, often a lot of what you learn can be replicated. Although different platforms have different features, often the basic principles can be replicated. So get good on one platform, then maybe add a second one, and then possibly add a third one or fourth one if you have the resource. But if you focus 90% of your time on being really brilliant on one platform, you will start to move the needle on your audience growth, I promise you. So a couple of examples for you, if you need some proof. So there's a lady that I've recently discovered called Kat Corey. I think I'm saying that right. And she's an Instagram expert. And that's all she does, as far as I can tell. She does Instagram. She has a very successful course, which is called Instagram Makeover. I'll link to her website and her Instagram in the show notes. And as far as I can tell, she's just creating social media content on Instagram. It's very, very high quality content, like better quality than most that I've seen on Instagram, because that's all she needs to do. She's selling a course on Instagram makeovers. So she's totally putting her eggs in one basket. She's creating really high quality content and it's really, really working for her. Another example, and I don't know this person personally, but is somebody that I'm aware of, is a lady called Helen Pritchard. She specializes in LinkedIn. She has a course. I think she also has a popular free challenge. And she is pretty much, as far as I can tell, she's mainly active on LinkedIn. Kind of makes sense, LinkedIn. Now, you might be thinking at this stage, okay, Janet, well, this might work for these people because you've just cited an Instagram expert and now you've cited a LinkedIn expert. But here's an example for you that isn't a digital marketing expert. So we've got Jess Dante, who has the Love in London brand, and that's a YouTube channel that she set up to help people who are visiting London to give them advice on what to do and what to see when they're in London. Now, she has a very popular YouTube channel. She's just reached over 100,000 subscribers, which is fantastic. But when you look at her social media, you can see that most of the activity for Love in London is on Instagram. She is active. She's present on Twitter. She's present on Facebook. She doesn't have a Facebook group or anything like that. She's just about present on Facebook. She's getting more active on LinkedIn, but her main social media platform is really clearly Instagram if you check out that brand. So if you're finding that your audience growth has plateaued, I'd really have a look at this, because what I often see when business owners hit a growth plateau is they're trying to do lots of different social media platforms and lots of different bits of social media platforms, and then they're just not doing any of it very well. And the other thing as well that you might need to look at, you might need to go even micro niche. So if you're on Facebook, for example, you know, there's no reason why you couldn't just focus on your Facebook page or your Facebook group or on Facebook Lives or Facebook Messenger. Like, there's nothing to say that you couldn't do that if that's going to work for you. So it's about focusing on the thing that's working the best for you and doing more of what's working, rather than piling on loads of new strategies that are probably going to mean that nothing that you're doing is actually as effective as it could be. Same goes for your content. So if you have a blog or a podcast or a YouTube channel, I know I've certainly fallen into this trap myself as a podcaster, even though I know that my podcast is like, that is my primary sort of content source. It sends me most of my customers or clients. Most people who become a client of mine start off with my podcast. But every so often I'll be like, oh, but maybe I should be on YouTube, because like YouTube's really big and it's like the second biggest search engine in the world. And maybe I should be on there too. I mean, I kind of am on there. You know, and I have had times where I've kind of started little projects, and because of my podcasts, you know, I've not been able to be as consistent with them as I could have done. And I always come back to the same conclusion that my podcast is the piece of content that I put out every week that attracts most of my ideal customers and clients. I have to stick with that. I do try and repurpose, so I create a blog post version of it. I'd love to be able to put it out as a video as well. Still trying to figure out how to do that. But what I'm not going to do is go and start a YouTube channel with a completely different focus and creating like new content, because that would just be silly. That would just be spreading myself far too thin. So my second tip for you, if you've hit an audience growth plateau, is to focus on the engagement and not the numbers. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you might be feeling a bit confused by now, because I often talk about the numbers on the podcast, and there's a stat that I often share, which is this. The average conversion rate for online sales is just 1-2%. So most of us need a much bigger audience than we think we need in order to make the number of sales that we need. So I bang on about that all the time. So why am I saying focus on engagement, not numbers, if you've hit an audience growth plateau? Well, you know, I do believe that you've got to be realistic about your audience. You know, if you want to sell hundreds of online courses, you have to be realistic about how many people you need on your email list or in your audience to make those kind of sales. But at the same time, for me, building an audience is all about relationship building, and you build your audience like one relationship at a time. And I think that never stops, like whether you're in month one, whether you're in year one, or you're like 5 years into your business, you still have to focus on building relationships. And I think any time that I felt myself get to an audience growth plateau, when I really step back and look at what's going on, I feel like I've got in this kind of like funnel mindset where I'm just building funnels and I'm trying to automate everything. And I'm almost like trying to make the gap between me and my prospective customers or clients bigger. And actually, when we're building an audience, what we're always wanting to do is to bring people closer and get closer to our prospective customers or clients. Like, you know, when that gap is widening, that's usually when we get an audience growth plateau. So I think if you found yourself in this situation where your audience feels like it's stopped growing, just take a step back and think about this. Have you fallen into a funnel mindset? You know, have you actually kind of got into that way of thinking where you're just thinking about people that you about taking people through a funnel, and you're trying to automate everything, and you've almost kind of like stopped thinking about your prospective customers or clients as people? They're almost kind of like numbers or units. It's a really, really common thing that happens. And a simple way to turn this around is just to spend a bit more time talking to your audience. So get in your Facebook group and have some conversations. If you have a membership group, get in and spend some more time in there, have some conversations with people. When you're on social media, instead of just posting and like looking to see whether people comment on your stuff, like make it a habit that when you post something of yours, you go and post on 10 other people's posts before you, you know, or before you even post anything, you go and post on 5 or 10 other people's posts. There's one of my favorite people that I follow on social media, Kate Lister, who's a florist, and she's mainly over on LinkedIn. So she focuses mainly on one platform, which is, I think, one of the secrets of her success. And she has this rule, and she talks about it all the time, is like, before you post anything on LinkedIn, go and comment on 5 other people's posts. And I think it's a really, really good thing to do. When you fall into that kind of audience growth plateau state, often when you really step back and think about it, you haven't been having conversations with people. Maybe you haven't been getting in the DMs and chatting to people. Like, you haven't been spending time commenting on other people's content. You've just got a bit selfish, basically. So I think it's worth checking in and seeing what's happening there. Really nice example of this. So episode 362, I interviewed Chris Taylor. So he's an Instagram expert, a really fab episode on how to grow on Instagram. And he shared, and if you've listened to this episode already, you'll know this, but he shared that he spends an hour every day engaging on the hashtags of the hashtags that are being used by his ideal customers and clients, an hour every single day. Now, while that might seem excessive to you, that's helped him to grow from naught, no followers at all on Instagram, to I think it's like 38,000 in 18 months, which is like massive, massive growth, particularly for the kind of industry he's in and what he does. And he really puts that down to actually spending time just having conversations and real conversations and real comments. So I met Chris because I'd posted something on my Instagram feed, and he came and left a really genuine, thoughtful comment on it. We had a little bit of conversation. We went back and forth. So I went and checked out his Instagram account to see what he was all about. And then I invited him on the podcast. So you build your audience one relationship at a time. When you've hit an audience growth plateau, often you'll find that that maybe you've slipped up or you've slipped back a little bit on the relationship building. So I think you probably need to spend some more time talking to people, having conversations. For me, with my social media content, I'm not interested in likes at all. For me, that's just a vanity metric. What I'm interested in is comments and conversation. And when I say conversation, it's not just about, you know, attracting lots of comments on your post, but it's actually, you know, people are sort of moved to leave a kind of thoughtful comment, like you've emotionally touched them with something that you've shared. So have a think about what kind of content could you create that people actually feel so strongly about that they want to take time out of their day to leave a comment. And then when you comment back to them, which you totally should, by the way, they come back to you and they want to get in a conversation with you. And if you're feeling like your social media, your platforms are all feeling a bit dead, have a look at the content that you're creating, because it may well be you're just not inspiring that kind of emotional connection in people. They're just not feeling anything when they see your content. So that's really important too. Okay, so my third tip, which really leads on nicely, if you've hit an audience growth plateau, is to share more personal content. Now, people like to do business with people that they like. And if you're hiding away behind your laptop or in your studio, then you're basically missing out on the chance to build relationships. So just to be clear, this isn't about sharing your personal family secrets. It's not about airing your dirty washing in public. It's about creating connections with people. So it's creating like an emotional connection or spark with people. And you can do this by just maybe sharing a little bit of the person behind the business on, you can do it on Instagram, you can do it on Instagram stories, you can do it through photos on LinkedIn or Facebook or video even on Twitter. But letting people know what you got up to at the weekend. So just to give you an example, as I'm recording this podcast episode, in my Instagram stories, I've shared some pictures of me training down at the running track this morning. So I'm recording this on Bank Holiday Monday. And I was out on the running track early this morning and it was so, so hot. I've shared that. I've shared about the fact that I'm traveling to New York later in the week. And I've talked about some of the books that I've picked out for my holiday. And I've also asked people to recommend what I should do in New York. So it's not about, this is about you being selective. It's not about you sharing personal information, but just where you feel that there might be things that you're doing, that you're getting up to, that other people might be interested in. You'd be amazed actually how much people respond to that kind of content. You know, they're not interested in reading worthy posts about your business and your mission. They're often just interested in the kind of like mundane stuff. And I think I've shared this on the podcast before, but in the run-up to my recent live event, Build Your Audience Live, I shared a picture of me sat up late at night. I was proofing the workbook for the event. I was sat at my kitchen table. I was wearing my pajamas and a hoodie and for some bizarre reason, one sock, and my ironing board was in the background. That photo got more engagement. It wasn't even a great photo at all. It's quite a blurry, dark photo. It got more engagement than any content that I shared around that time because it was real. A few people commented that they could see my ironing board in the background and that kind of made it seem more real and homely. And I had a fantastic podcast interview with a lady called Marsha Shander. It's episode 341. It was all about using storytelling in your marketing. And she talked in that episode, if you haven't listened to it, do go back and have a listen. It's fascinating. But she talked about how when we're willing to share that we're not perfect and that our life isn't perfect and that we messed up or we made a mistake or we did something stupid or said something stupid, the minute that we're prepared to be a little bit vulnerable and to share that kind of thing, immediately people, they want to get closer to us. Like they feel comfortable. They don't want us to be these kind of perfect people who seem to do everything right all the time. So there can be something really nice about doing that. And as I say, it doesn't have to be anything kind of like deep. It could literally be, you know, my birthday's in September too, or I'm a twin too. It's just about finding those kind of areas of like common interest. I mean, in my head, I call them Me Too moments. You can't really call them Me Too moments now, can you? Because there's a whole movement around that, which is completely different. But, oh, right, me too. I'm also a twin. I also went to university in Leicester. My birthday is also in September. I've also got triplets, whatever it might be. It's about finding those points of commonality. And just to give you a few more examples. So Kat Corey, I hope I'm saying that right, who I mentioned earlier, the Instagram expert, I saw a video that she'd put out on IGTV and she was talking about what kind of content you should be putting out on Instagram. It's really good. Go and check it out. And she was talking about having different buckets, like different topics that you talk about. And if you're somebody who's a little bit nervous about sharing more personal information, this might be a helpful way of thinking about it. But coming up with 6 or 7 buckets of the type of things that you talk about. So for me, it might be running. It might also be books. It might be music, it might be content marketing and helping people build their audience. I'm also quite interested in kind of women's issues and, like, you know, women in business. So there's just a few of my buckets, the type of things that sort of typically come up again and again. I also like talking about clothes and fashion and makeup as well. So Kat was talking about one of her most popular buckets, and it was Des. One of her buckets is called Des because she married, and I remember this from, like, seeing it on her IGTV video, which says a lot. She married later in life. So she married at 47 for the first time to a guy called Des, and she's, like, really happily married. And people are really interested in the fact that she met this guy later in life, got married for the first time at 47, and is blissfully happily married. And I think it's that kind of thing, like when people can go, oh, that's interesting, or, oh, that happened to me, or, oh, I wonder how it would feel if that happened to me. It's that kind of emotional connection. Another quick example for you. So this afternoon, as I've been putting the notes together for this podcast episode, I was just flicking through Instagram stories, and I noticed that a lady that I've recently started following called Julia Day, and her business is the Independent Girls Collective. I was looking at her story and I thought, I think that's Liverpool Cathedral in the background. And so I just replied to her story and said, is that Liverpool Cathedral in the background? And she said, yeah, like, how did you know? And I said, well, I was born in Liverpool. And then she's like, wow, I can't believe it. I've been listening to your podcast for ages and I would never have guessed that you were from Liverpool. And then I told her the story about how I moved from Liverpool to Kent when I was 6. And if you move to Kent with a Scouse accent, if you're not from the UK, by the way, it's a Liverpudlian accent. It's a lovely accent. I love it. But in the UK, we have the Liverpool accent and the Birmingham accent, which probably get a little bit of teasing maybe about it. But anyway, so I had a Liverpool accent up until I was about 6 when I moved to Kent, and people quickly knocked it out of me and said I should speak like them. So we had a little bit of an exchange about that and where she was from and where I was from and how her brother lives close to me. And for me, that is one of those kind of emotional connection moments, those kind of moments where you find, oh my God, I've got common ground. And I think all of us, what we ultimately want, we want to belong, like we want to connect. And again, I think if you've hit an audience growth plateau, if things feel like that, you know, they've just kind of stopped and ground to a halt, then doing more of this, actually having conversations, it's something actually that I felt a little bit torn about at times. And I know that I've had coaches or mentors who've advised me to step back. Like, they've advised me, like, not to have conversations with people in my DMs about the fact I'm from Liverpool, or not to make myself so accessible to people who get in touch and ask me for links to buy things, or ask me if they can have a discount code for my event or whatever it might be. And I've really struggled with it, because for me, building my audience, and that's what I'm teaching people about, is about connections, it's about relationships, it's creating those kind of moments where you're like, oh gosh, yeah, me too, or I'm from Liverpool too, or yeah, I'm a twin as well, or I've got a 17-year-old, whatever it might be. And I think when you step back and you get into that funnel mindset, you can totally lose that. And it's such a special thing. Like, when you have that moment with somebody where you realize you've got something in common, it's such a nice way to connect. And one last thing I wanted to share was Chris Taylor, who I mentioned earlier, interviewed him back in episode 362 about Instagram growth strategy. And when I watch his stories, he's on this mission, and he's written it actually in his Instagram bio, to becoming a millionaire at 30. So, and he said to me, you know, my Instagram stories, I'm making it almost like a reality TV show. And it's interesting to watch, because you see him at the gym, you see him out, like, training sessions, you see him out with other entrepreneurs. Like, it's interesting. Well, it's interesting for me anyway. I know it's not interesting for everybody, but, you know, most of us are nosy. Most of us are curious. This is not about you sharing things that you don't feel comfortable with, but where you feel comfortable. If you're happy to share, as I did recently, that you took your daughter to the Ariana Grande concert and have some conversation about that. If you're happy to share that you prefer coffee to tea, whatever, it doesn't have to be like really deep stuff. But I think people do need to see a little bit of the person behind the business. And it doesn't mean going on video either. It can be photos as well, or it can just be you writing about your experience. You don't have to jump on video if you're not comfortable with that. So my fourth tip is to borrow other people's audiences. So if you've hit a bit of a growth plateau in your own audience, the best thing you can do is to go out and find other people who have a similar audience to you, but they serve them in a different way. That's the key thing. You don't want to go to your competitors. but people who have a similar audience to you, but they serve them in a different way. So, for example, I teach people about building online audiences. There's other experts out there who teach people about sales, who teach people about Facebook ads, who teach people about Instagram strategy. We're all teaching different things, but we're teaching them to the same people. So we may as well benefit from each other's audiences. Now, there's various ways that you can do this. So one way is guest blogging. So you can write guest blogs for websites, and particularly websites that have got more traffic than your own. That can be a great thing to do. You could also do guest teaching sessions. So like in my membership community, I invite experts in to teach guest sessions. And of course, that means they're getting in front of, you know, my clients and you know, usually their ideal clients too. You can do things like virtual summits. I'm a little bit dubious about virtual summits. I get invited to take part in lots of them. I think when you first start out, anything that you can do where you collaborate with other people and you bring your audiences together can be a really good thing. I find that now I've been doing this for a while and I have my own audience, I kind of feel that, you know, sometimes I get an email and they say, will you be part of a virtual summit? You have to send 12 emails, you have to do this many social media posts. And to be honest, I'm busy promoting my own products and services. I don't really have the capacity to do that. But I think when you first start out, anything where you're bringing together your audiences with other people and you're helping each other out, well, you know, that's got to be a good thing. However, writing guest blog posts, it takes a while. It can be quite time consuming. As can putting together teaching sessions or putting together materials for virtual summits or doing the promotion around that. One really super easy thing to do is to do guest podcast interviews, because when you do a guest podcast interview about something that you're an expert in, you can literally just give half an hour of your time, or, you know, maximum 60 minutes of your time. You just show up, you talk about what it is that you're an expert in, and they go away and do all the hard work. Obviously, you can help them out and promote it, but it's a great way of getting in front of new people and new people who are the right people for you if you do your targeting right. So I would really recommend, and I do recommend, when my clients hit an audience growth strategy, one of the first things I say to them, sorry, when my clients hit an audience growth plateau, I should say, one of the things that I suggest is that they do an aggressive podcast guesting strategy. And when I say aggressive, I don't mean aggressive. I just mean actually pitch a lot of shows and be prepared to be interviewed on a lot of shows. If you think about it, if you pitched a lot of podcasts and you got on 5 a week, that could be, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours of your time maximum, and you could reach a hell of a lot of people. I mean, even smaller shows, like I say yes to most podcast interviews, even if somebody's got a couple of hundred people listening, and it's not thousands or tens of thousands, then it's a couple of hundred people that you weren't in front of before, and it's just, you know, half an hour of your time. And actually, I've found that often when I've been on smaller podcasts that have had smaller audiences, because the audience is kind of, and the host, you know, they're so much kind of more enthusiastic. They're so much more on the ball about promoting it. Often that can be much more powerful than being on some of the bigger podcasts that I've been on. Now, if you're wondering how to pitch yourself as a podcast guest and also how to find the right podcast to be on, I have a blog post for you, which I'll link to in the show notes, how to pitch yourself as a podcast guest. I've just updated it, so you should find that useful. A couple of bonus tips for you as well. If you are going to go down that route, create a one sheet. So this is basically a document that you create. I've got one that I've created it in Google Docs, which has your bio already written, or a few versions of your bio, maybe a list of the kind of topics that you could be interviewed about, also your photos, so anything that basically makes it easier for the podcast host. And you can also create a freebie download. So if you're going to be interviewed on your, you know, your specialist topic, what you can do is create a, for that particular podcast that you're being interviewed on, you can create your own landing page. So that's a web page that you create where you can only do one thing on that page, and you can give people like a free download or something like that, which means that obviously you can collect their email address. That's kind of more advanced strategy. You don't have to do that. So don't panic if that feels a bit sort of techie for you at the stage that you're at. But ideally what you want to do if you're on somebody's podcast is you want to people to get in touch with you, and ideally you want to get their email address. If they're interested enough to track you down and get in touch with you, then you want to be able to keep in touch with them, because it may well be that you've got a paid product or service that might be just what they need. And so creating some kind of download that they have to give their email to get can be a great way of doing that. So I will link to that. There's a blog post, how to pitch yourself as a podcast guest. I'll put that in the show notes. And the last strategy that I want to share with you, or the last tip I want to share with you, I said this wasn't going to be about strategy, didn't I? Was to show up in person. So hosting live events can be an absolutely fantastic way to connect with your prospective customers or clients. There's just something so much more powerful about meeting someone in person, looking them in the eye. And again, you can create that rapport so much easily. You can have those conversations. Oh my God, I'm from Newcastle too. Or, oh my God, I hate Marmite, or I hate tomato ketchup. And actually, there was a little story that I forgot to share from earlier on, but I asked my membership a little while ago, what was their moment when they knew that I was the one, when they knew that I was the person that they wanted to work with? And I've got a whole list of things, but the best one was a client of mine who said, Zoe, and she said that it was when she met me in person. It's really relevant to what we're talking about now. And I revealed that I hated tomato ketchup too. So we were like kindred spirits, you know, like in our hatred of tomato ketchup. And we met in person. She came along to a meetup that I held in London. She said she also said that I wasn't as scary as she thought I was going to be. She thought I was going to be like a hard-nosed businesswoman. I was actually really nice and friendly. So that's a case in point as well. But we bonded. And that's a key word, really. We bonded. Like, we had this kind of rapport. We had this connection over the fact we both hate tomato ketchup. So isn't that interesting? I find that whenever I run meetups, so whenever I'm speaking or working in a particular city, I will try to run a meetup if I can, just an informal, usually sort of 10, 15 people, like informal lunchtime sort of networking, bit of chat. Sometimes we do a bit of masterminding. And pretty much most people who come along to those meetups become my clients, because I just think there's something really powerful about meeting people in person. And in case you're panicking and thinking, oh, I have to do like, you know, massive big live event like Janet does with like hundreds of people, a small meetup like I've just described, that can be a great way just to create that personal connection. And the fact that I still do them, even though I run big events, hopefully that kind of underlines to you like how effective they can be. And if that's not possible, if it really isn't possible that you can meet people in person, I know I have listeners, but maybe you're listening now from Australia, New Zealand. I have lots of people in the Netherlands, the US. It may well be that we can't get together at a meetup. So what's an alternative? Well, you can send voicemails, you could send personal video messages using something like Bonjouro. But my key takeaway for you, and Bonjouro is an app that you can use to send personalized video messages, by the way, I'll put a link in the show notes. But I think the key takeaway here is that when you hit an audience growth plateau, the temptation is just to pile on the strategy, to kind of start building more and more sales funnels. And actually, often what you need to do is to step back and actually do less and just do things differently. And I think the key theme, the one thing I really want you to take away from this episode, is that this is about creating an emotional connection. I've talked about bonding, I've talked about rapport, I've talked about finding common ground, I've talked about community. I haven't talked a single moment, I think, about strategy. I haven't told you to start a Facebook group or to get onto Pinterest. Like, I've told you to do less, to do things differently, and just really focus on the people that are in front of you now. And I promise, if you're willing to take a step back and just remember why it is that you do what you do, who you want to serve, how you want to help people, and just focus on being a little bit more personal, making those personal connections, you will see a difference in your business, and it should unblock your audience growth plateau. So I hope you found that useful. And don't forget that if you do need the strategy at any point, then head over to janetmurray.co.uk/50ways. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/50ways, and you'll get some specific strategies on building your online audience.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.